Jesus. I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open and my heart is ready for what you have for me today. Now, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we approach it with boldness, but we approach it humbly, expecting you to speak to us. Minister to our hearts. Lord, like we prayed this morning, thank you, Lord, that you, Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, we thank you, Lord, the gentleman that you are, as we open our heart, Lord, we just thank you, Holy Spirit, as we open up and allow you to move, allow you to touch us right where it matters, and cut away the flesh that needs to go. Lord, we just thank you for that this morning. We come before you with a humble heart. We thank you that that anointing that's present in this place, upon us and within us, and Lord, especially upon me right now, we thank you, Lord, for this word coming forth with clarity, yet simply, yet powerfully. And Lord, we just give you praise and thanksgiving for your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them they're a sight and you can be seated. Just say, you're a sight. Amen. I want to explain that to you today. Amen. You know, this week, I think it was Monday, I sent out an email for a word of encouragement. And it wasn't that I saw the video. I just thought about it. It wasn't that I saw the video or I just thought about it. I have seen it, but the video where Barney Fife is in his chair, there's a couple images that come to mind where he's pulling his hair and it sticks out all over the place. But then when he's so upset about something and Andy looks at him and says, Barney, you're a sight. Have you ever been that way? You ever had somebody have to pull you aside and say, you know what? You really need to calm down just a little bit. Amen. I know some people can get so filled with rage. And if the shoe fits this morning, you might ought to wear it. Some people can be so filled with rage over something, or they allow a past offense to absolutely dominate and rule their life, that even when their pastor or when somebody who loves them dearly, a family member or a best friend, comes to them and in a caring, loving way, they try to correct them, they get mad at them in the same tone that they're mad about whatever it is. And then they treat them, the person who loved them the most, the same way they treat the one that they've been extremely upset with. And that's a dangerous place to be in life. We've all had situations where we've been hurt, where we've been broken. There's events and situations in life, world history events, national events and things, that a lot of times we allow those things to really control us and we get our eyes off the prize. And, you know, I can't say it enough, but you better let all that go because you're a sight. And the way you act, it really, really is noticeable. People pick up on it. Amen. I went on a missions trip years ago. We went to a certain country. I won't say which one it is because then if they might be watching this, I don't know. But we went on a certain trip. Matthew's been on these kind of trips, and Melissa has too. She went to the Ukraine once, and we all have had experiences, and there's always that one on the trip. How many of you know, you ever traveled with somebody you never traveled with before? Huh? And there's always that one, and it's like, wow, you never knew that. And, you know, and you come back from that trip, and you reminisce about things and stuff, And you know, they went on that trip because the Lord needed to speak to them. And sometimes the Lord does speak to them. I know one time we were going to a particular place. We had to walk for a long time. It was very hot. And you found out who could take it and who couldn't. First time I went to Panama, We were hiking the Port of Lara, which isn't that far, but that particular day it was so hot and so miserable that I was trying to make sure everybody in my group had water, but I didn't drink water. And what happened to me? Anybody know? I passed out. I laid on the side of the jungle there on the hillside, and I closed my eyes thinking I would just be all right. And the next thing I know, I got an army medic looking over me with a big needle about to stick me and give me an IV. And I said, whoa, please don't do that. He says, well, you need to drink this. And he had something for me to drink. And then Dennis walks up. He's got a white horse. He said, come on, Jesus rode in on a white horse, Pastor. You're going to ride in on a white horse. And I did for a little bit. But you know, there's things in certain areas of our lives where we experience things and it changes us from the inside out. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right. I'm making sure I'm talking to the right crowd here. But what I want to hit on today is, unforgiveness. And I actually had a different direction. I even told Sherry about the direction that I was thinking of going. I've been thinking about it for months. But when I wrote that email on Monday, the Lord really hit me hard in my heart about I need to share this. And I don't know if there'll be a part two or a three, but I really think you need to listen. Because if there's anything that damages your witness, remember, Jesus prayed for you in John 17 in the garden. He prayed that the same love that he revealed of the Father, because Jesus told the Father, I showed them you. I'm paraphrasing it. I showed them you. I showed them your love. And now it's their turn. It's their turn to lay aside the weights. It's their turn to show everyone they know that you're a good God and that you love them all. So I want to take this, and some of you have experienced divorce. Some of you have experienced marital issues through the years. Some of you have resentments over things, even though you're still married. You just shut your mouth and you never talk about it. Some of you have issues with people you've worked with, and you've skipped from job to job because you just can't stand the people you work with. There's folks in here, and I'm not trying to berate you here. I'm trying to let the love of God move on the inside of your spirit, because you're a billboard. And how you've acted, you've affected other people for the kingdom, good or bad. And it's important how we are in these last days. Love needs to be shown. Love needs to be paramount. Everybody say paramount. It's not just a movie company. It's the real deal. It needs to be paramount. Amen. Priority one is your love walk. It is the most excellent way, according to Paul. But there's a lot of things you've experienced in your life. There's a lot of things I've been through in my life. I look back, I listened to a song driving in, and I was thinking back years and years ago before Melissa and I met. I was so glad. I just kind of sing, ooh, what you're missing. What you're missing. Could have been here all from the start, but no. So Melissa got to experience it all. You know, God's always got a plan. God's always got a purpose. And now more than ever before, he needs to be your only purpose. Amen? So the title of the series is, You Better Let That Go Because You're a Sight, all right? And I want to look first at Ephesians, and here's the picture of Barney. I love watching that periodically. It just cracks me up, especially when they're sitting in the patrol car gossiping about everybody in town. That episode's called The Gossiping Men. Those Gossiping Men. You need to watch that. That's a good one to watch and have a big giggle. Amen. Ephesians 4, verse 32, Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you Amen. Just as Christ forgave you. The Amplified reads, and become useful, and this is in your handout, become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily, freely, as God in Christ forgave you. Let me say that again, because that's really good. And become useful and helpful. You ought to diagram that one. Are you useful and helpful to the Lord? Are you useful and helpful in your love walk? It goes on. Paul says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted. What's the opposite of being tender-hearted? Hard-hearted. You should be compassionate. You should be understanding. You should be loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. Aren't you thankful He forgave you? I mean, you were messed up, reprobate, hurt, whatever. You'd been through the grinder and back, so to speak. You had been ran over by the dump truck in a parking lot of pain and suffering, back and forth, back and forth. But aren't you glad He forgave you? He bound up your wounds, delivered you. You know, I thought about this point when I wrote it, and I thought it was really important, but, you know, unforgiveness is always a negative witness. And what is worse is the fact that most people who walk in unforgiveness don't even realize it. They don't even realize that it's noticeable. And it's very noticeable. And as I said a moment ago, whether you know it or not, you're a billboard. You're a billboard. Amen. You're a billboard for the love of God. You know, your love walk always shows up. I'll say that again. Your love walk always shows up. And I'll add this to it. Your love walk should never be silent. Your love walk should never be silent. So why? My personality is just that way. Really? I think a lot of times we spend all of our time being judgmental about different situations and people and things. And whether we know it or not, a lot of times we judge folks by the shoes they wear, the color of their hair, or clothes they wear. We can't be that way. Jesus loved everybody, didn't He? Didn't He show forth love to all who would receive it? Is what I really meant to say. But unforgiveness is a real negative witness. It's very noticeable. A lot of times we just don't realize that it's noticeable. But love shows. You know, unforgiveness and offense shows too. Just as powerful as love shows, and love's not silent, unforgiveness and offense show as well. Shows up in attitude, shows up in work ethic, shows up in how you respect authority. You understand? People have a real problem with authority. They don't realize it sometimes. But it shows up, that offense, that hurt, those things, unforgiveness, it shows up. It attacks different areas of our lives. And why is it that the devil attacks so much in the area of unforgiveness and offenses? Well, the Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief comes but to what? Say it again. The thief comes to but what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Well, and in this matter in particular, you need to understand the devil wants to kill. If he wants to kill, what does he want to kill? He wants to kill you. Not so much in a physical way. If you're causing a lot of damage, I'm sure he'd do a good job trying to get you in trouble and take you out. But he wants to kill us. More specifically, he wants to steal the work of God in our heart. He wants to kill the work of God in our heart. He wants to destroy the work of God in your life. And he wants to get at God through the body of Christ that's here on this earth. He wants to destroy the ministry of Jesus through you. He wants to hinder your love walk so bad that you can't even minister in the ministry of reconciliation that all of us are called to. His goal is to get you wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in unforgiveness and offense so that you'll be weak and you'll be without joy. And you know, God wants you to have joy, doesn't He? He wants you walking in a supernatural joy. Joy comes not by circumstance. Joy is supernatural. Amen. Joy is supernatural. We know Paul made that statement, I think myself happy. Even in the worst of situations, he still sang and gave praise to God. Amen. Well, Nehemiah wrote in chapter 8 and verse 10, New Living Translation here, it says, don't be dejected and sad. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your what? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Shout that out loud. Say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I refuse to be dejected and sad because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, that's how you make a confession of the word. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, if the devil is allowed by you to attack your love walk, I can guarantee you he will successfully cripple your faith. He will. And like Brother Jerry preaches about it, if the devil can take your joy, he'll take everything you own. He sure will. You'll get yourself in a mess. He'll get his hands on everything when you get your eyes off the love walk, get your eyes off the prize, that's Jesus. See, if the devil's allowed to attack your love walk, he'll cripple your faith and he'll hinder every one of your blessings. Well, what do we do? What do we do? I mean, we all got family, don't we? We all got family members that have done things that we thought were just absolutely stupid. Can I just go ahead and say it? We have, isn't that right? And we just thought, why did you not communicate? Why did you not? What kind of britches are you wearing? You gotta guard yourself. Because when those things happen, you can let that... get a hold of you. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And then before you know it, when that gets a hold of you, you get all on people that don't even deserve it. Come on, that's good. It is. See, that joy being stole because you allowed it, it affects your character. It affects your personality. You go from being the happy, joyful roadrunner to Wile E. Coyote, looking for some way to get even. Dynamite, anvil off a cliff, I don't know. But you sit there and you think, you know, one day they're going to tell me they're sorry. They may not ever tell you they're sorry because they don't even know they hurt your feelings. But you sure need to let it go because you're a sight. Amen. Well, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. Well, what'd Paul say? Well, one of the things Paul talked about, and I'm going to give you the scripture in just a minute, but what he instructed us to do was to let it go. Let the offense go. Let the unforgiveness go. Who decides to let it all go? We do. You do. I do. Amen. We decide. You do. You decide. You know, the person who's been offended and hurt has to make the decision. You ought to write that down. You have to make the decision. And it doesn't need to be a head thing. It needs to be a heart thing. You can talk till you're blue in the face, but it's on the deep part of the inside of your spirit, man, that you make that decision. Jesus, it's only you, not my hurt. My hurt will not be Lord of my life. My offense will not be Lord and Savior of my soul. You are my God, the everlasting one. Amen. See, in Philippians, in the Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 in the New Living Translation, look at how this reads. Because Paul said he forgets the things that are behind and he presses toward the goal as we read here. And I've said this years back, Paul was the lone gunman on the grassy knoll. He held everybody's coats as they killed Christians. Imagine the pain and hurt he felt when Jesus called upon him, "Why do you persecute me?" Whew. You talk about inner healing that had to take place. There was a reason Paul disappeared for 25 years after the Road to Damascus experience. He got a hold of Jesus' brothers. He got a hold of Jesus' family. He went and got himself before some of the disciples. He grew in God. And here he comes back and he writes most of the New Testament, the letters as we know it. Isn't that powerful? Much of the doctrine of the church, the local church, is based upon the writings of Paul. Amen. In fact, it's a good study for you to look up what Paul didn't like and what he did like. You ought to do that. Tony Cook's got a new book we're going to have in the bookstore real soon about Paul. I forgot the title of it right now, but it's about Paul's life. And I'm telling you, when it gets here, you ought to get a copy because I got a preview copy and it's powerful, very powerful. But you ought to do a little study on what Paul liked and what he dislikes. In Search of Paul, just like the In Search of Timothy. This one's about Paul. Tony Cook will be here too later on. I'm excited about that. Philippians chapter 3, though, verses 12 through 14. Look at what Paul actually spoke here because this is so powerful. And if anybody had a reason to write these words, he sure did. "I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection." He's admitting he's frail. He's made mistakes. But he goes on, he says, "But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing." This was his mission. "Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." You know, Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, "I've finished my course. I've finished my race. There's now laid up for me a crown." When he knew it was time, it was time. I believe if Jesus tarries, many of you, if you'll press towards that prize, you'll know when it's time. You'll sense it. You'll know. Just like I firmly believe if we're here and the rapture was to take place, I think moments before it happens or that day, you'll know in your spirit, this just might be it. And I think that knowing will all of a sudden electrify and you'll take that last breath. Hasta la vista. Paul said, "I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us." Let me tell you something, and I know you know this, but see, your character should represent the Father's character. Amen. So hear what I'm saying. God forgives and God forgets. And you must be like God, not like this guy. Amen. God forgives and God forgets. Aren't you glad He forgave you? Come on. Aren't you glad the blood was more than enough for you? Come on. Hallelujah. That's something to shout about. Woo! Man, I could have been dead in the gutter, but the blood was more than enough. Amen. Oh my God, it's so good. God forgave me. He forgot it all. The only person that brings it back up is you. You should find out who you are in Him and really let those statues of your past disappear. We must be like God. God forgives, God forgets, and you're thankful that He forgave you. You're thankful He forgot all about your sin and your trouble, your miseries, your woes. But you're supposed to be like Him. We have to choose to forget. And you know, forgetting does not mean that you don't remember. No, 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 no. You still remember. But the surge of anger that you normally would feel when you remember just isn't there anymore. Oh, that's good news. See, you only remember the past as a historical event. not a current memory, as if it just happened last night. See, you don't remember the pain anymore. You don't remember it with pain. It's just something you read in the textbook, so to speak. Amen? That's how we should be living, folks. See, when you and I begin to see people, all people, everybody say all people, including your, you know, whoever in your family did whatever to you. All people includes them. Amen. Maybe somebody in your life hurt you really, really bad, did some terrible things to you. Maybe physically, maybe emotionally. Maybe you were emotionally beat to pieces. But you know what? He loves them too. You better let it go because you're a sight. We got to start seeing the people, all of the people, because every nail that was driven in Jesus' body was for all the people. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whosoever, what's a good definition for whosoever? Everybody. Everybody and anybody could believe on Him and have everlasting life. See, we're not going to be, we got to make the decision that we're not going to be offended and we're not going to be unforgiving towards the things they do and say anymore, because we're seeing their heart, their lives, the way God sees them. You got to treat bitterness. You got to treat resentment and unforgiveness like they're enemies to the crown. Enemies to the cross. Enemies to the blood in your life. You got to treat bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness like they're enemies and that they've come to corrupt you. You need to see them as bandits that have come to steal your joy, to steal your peace. And my goodness, folks, listen to this. And steal your relationships. We are not to be that way as a believer. Love should be paramount. Amen. We have to see the bandits that the devil has sent, those oppressive spirits that's been sent to burden you, to bring up things, to get your eyes focused on the things of pain and hurt and suffering. You have to take the time to realize that they're bandits and they've come to steal your joy, to steal your peace. They're enemies, enemies that have come to corrupt your soul, your emotions, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Don't let these things steal your joy, your peace, and your relationships. You know what? You have got to rid yourself of these attitudes. Because these attitudes, man, I don't want to get to heaven like it reads in Revelation. He'll wipe the tears from our eyes. What is that going to be about? I don't know. Is he going to turn on the big screen TV and say, this is what I wanted you to do, but you allowed thus and such to hinder you, but it's okay. And then he shows you what did happen. And he's wiping the tears from your eyes. And you realize how good the grace of God has been for your anger and your pain and your resentment. So a lot of times we get born again. We lay our sin at the cross. We receive Jesus in our heart. But we keep hidden and protected the emotional scars. We treat them more importantly than we do the Word. More importantly than praying in the Holy Ghost. You've got to rid yourself of this stuff before they become roots. And the roots grow so deep that you can't do anything without digging it all up. Y'all ever worked your garden, you had to dig up something? I planted more roses the other day. I think I told you all about that. But when I was digging that one tree that I couldn't pull, I'd pulled our Highlander in the yard, put chains to it, and I thought I got it all. I found out when I was putting that new rose, bunch of roses, tying them all together. When I put all that into the ground, before I could even get it in the ground, there was a root about that big down in there. And it spread out like veins. And I had to work and dig that up. I thought I had gotten it all. But evidently I didn't. You know, a lot of times you hold on to things for so long, it becomes roots and it gets so deep into you that you have a hard time letting it go. And whoever hurt, whoever maimed you, whoever said whatever to you, maybe called you a name, maybe a family member. Come on. You better let it go, because my goodness, you're a sight. It shows up in our lives. Well, I want to give you some things. There's three keys to dealing with harmful attitudes in our lives. And I think it's good that you hear this real quick. Three keys. I picked, what was his name in that movie up? Huh? Carl? And that's a funny movie. What a story. Three keys to dealing with harmful attitudes. Amen. Carl had some harmful attitudes, but he got his joy at the end. Amen. First one's this. If you don't speak to your emotions, they will speak to you. I'll tell you this, they'll speak through you too. You don't have a full bag of French fries when you're letting your emotions speak to you. Amen. You only have a happy meal. The second one is this. If you don't take authority over your emotions, they will take authority over you. You know, somebody will do something because they were told to, and you'll lose your noodle and take it out over them. They're obeying authority. You can't be that way, folks. It affects our witness. If you don't, that's up a third one. This is good, isn't it? If you don't take authority over your emotions, they'll take authority over you. That stuff will creep into your marriage. And your past will go biting your spouse's head off. Walking all over them. Saying things you shouldn't. Can't be that way, folks. They got to deal. It's time to deal. Amen. And the third one's this. If you don't rise up and conquer your flesh is going to conquer you. Amen. Your flesh is going to conquer you. That's good, isn't it? Well, real quickly here as we close. And hear what I'm saying. This is powerful. I thought this was a pretty picture. You ever been like that? We got to quit letting our emotions tell us what to think, what to do, and how to react. Folks, it's time for you, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues maybe. It's time for you, holding your Bible under your arm, going to church. Shonda, hallelujah. Oh, happy. Woo, going to have church. You get out in the car. Oh, that flesh you never cut away from your life just starts rising up. Something comes to mind. You get in an elevator, there's Muzak in it, and all of a sudden a memory comes back. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You're a sight. We got to quit letting our emotions tell us what to think, what to do, how to react, because it's time for us to do the talking and take control of our thought life. You can choose what you think about. You know, the battle of faith takes place in your head. The battle of faith takes place in your head. You're going to trust how you feel. You're going to trust the Word. The devil's the king of guilt, too, by the way. He's the king of guilt. He'll try to make you remember things that you'd forgotten about. And it is your past that keeps you from moving forward. It is your past or things that happened in your family or to you that can hinder you in your present, hinder your attitude, hinder things in your life. Because you know what? Y'all ready for this one? You ought to write this one down. This is good preaching here. I'm going to say it with a smile, like a youth car salesman with the swinging light bulbs in the parking lot. You ready? This is going to be good. Unforgiveness will affect your sanity. It will. It'll consume you. One thing will tick it off, and all of a sudden that consumes you. And whatever you read in your Bible for devotion is the last thing on your mind. Because the guilt and the enemy has been allowed to push every button in your elevator. And he's taking a ride on your behalf at your cost. Woo! He's the king of guilt. Have you ever been around somebody that just won't let go of something? You know, I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, and as nobody you know, not here at the church, they brought up some things, and we were just talking. Known them for years, and I looked at them. I said, you know what? When are you going to let that go? And their eyes got big. I said, you know, when we get together, you know, this is the first thing you start talking about again. And, you know, it was that moment I felt, you know, I knew I was speaking by unction of the Holy Ghost, but in that moment that I said what I said, I felt resistance like you have no idea. And I backed down, and I smiled. I said, well, you know I love you. You know, sometimes you try to fix something, and the pain's more in charge than Jesus. And again, the battle of faith takes place in your head. They looked at me, and they made this statement, because the Bible says to think on certain things, right? The Bible says, and that means you can control what you think. It's deception to think this, folks, that I can't help the way I am. That's deception. I said, that's deception. Well, this is just the way I am. This is how I'm made. That's deception. Because that's not who you are in Christ. Come on. See, unforgiveness will make you open to the bait of the devil. You got to realize that the devil's trying to pull you into a trap every day. The easiest trap he has is that offense, that unforgiveness. And once he gets you there, you're trapped. You may be trying to go on with your day-to-day life. You may be trying to witness to the person you're working with. But the witness is negative instead of a positive. The witness is a negative one instead of a positive one. Maybe it's somebody that you know needs to go to heaven. You know they've been through a lot, and you know they need Jesus. But their opinion of you when they've seen you react and do things and say statements about stuff, they think you're mental. They think you got a screw loose. There's a right way and a wrong way to share something. You right with me? And you got to share the love of God. You need to be free from your own mess that you hold on to. Like Andy said to Barney, Barney, you're a sight. Lastly, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26 in your handout. Notice how it reads, and I'm going to explain it to you real quick. Gently entrust those who oppose the truth. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change these people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Verse 26, then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Now this is what this is talking about. This is talking about how we personally, in reality, come to the truth. We hear the truth. Everybody say, I hear the truth. And when you heard that truth, you came to your senses, didn't you? First time you heard the message of the gospel and it spoke to the depths of your heart, and you made a decision because it spoke to you. It was like a light came on. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And when you made that decision, everything in your world changed. It's what Paul's saying here. He's talking about how we came to hear that truth. We came to our senses and we escaped the snare of the devil. Aren't you glad you escaped the snare of the enemy? When you were lost, when you were undone, when all hell was breaking loose maybe in your former marriage or whatever else, aren't you thankful if it had not been for Jesus, where would you be? Woo! Aren't you thankful? You escape the snare of the enemy. You know, the devil hopes you're not going to be smart enough to forgive. The devil hopes you won't be smart enough to forgive. The devil wants you, and I'm just saying this, the devil wants you to be ignorant when it comes to forgiveness. He does not want you to realize the power that's in forgiveness. And it is powerful. It is powerful. Folks, forgiveness is the key for all of us being free at any given moment in our life. Free to hear from the gentleman of that's known as the Holy Ghost, speaking to you, leading you, guiding you. When we have hindrances in our life, or we have things that we allow to be power blockers, if you would, we can't be that way. Forgiveness is the key to being completely free. Forgiveness is possible, and I'm going to say it out loud, forgiveness is possible in every situation. It sure is. In fact, forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. And I want to tell you today, that choice is totally up to you. Amen. Have you learned something today? I'd like for you to bow your heads with me. And if you're here in church this morning, or if you're watching online, or maybe those of you that are out today, I know some folks are helping Julie, and then others are traveling today. But as you've seen this, as you've heard this word today, I'm not going to make a big deal out of this per se, where you come up front and we lay hands on you, because it is as simple as you just coming to that point in your heart where, yes, I need to let this go. And if that's you in here today, or watching, or if you go back and listen to this again, if that's you, don't you think it's high time that you really do let it go? Whatever you have allowed to be blockers of blessings, whatever you have allowed to push your buttons, to keep you stewing angry at the drop of a hat, whatever it is that's been a hindrance, it's time to let it go. It's time to let the Holy Ghost, with surgical precision, slice away that part of your life, your flesh, and turn it into a history moment that you may remember, but it doesn't rule you anymore. God wants you free. God wants you free. In fact, the blood sets you free. It's time to let it be that reality by you letting go of that offense, by you letting go of that hurt. Amen. It's so vital and so important. And I promise you, as you do, there'll be times you'll need to work on it. There'll be times you'll need to constantly maybe renew your mind in certain areas. But this one decision today will be that step forward. That'll be the smartest step you've ever made in your life. So I'm asking you, heads bowed, eyes closed, not asking you to raise your hand, but just say, Lord, just there under your breath, Lord, forgive me. I refuse to hold this anymore. I let this go right now in Jesus' name. It may be more in one situation. I let these situations go in Jesus' name. I refuse to walk out of love. I refuse to walk out of love. I choose to be your voice. I choose to have my Father's eyes. The eyes of passion, the eyes of love, the eyes of your person working, moving, and shining through me. Lord, I thank you that from this moment forward, you are truly the meditation and the point of everything in my life. I forgive, I let it go, I turn my back on it, and I'll never come back to it. Even if I stumble, I'm going to get right back up and keep running towards the prize. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe your hurts have kept you from knowing the Lord. Maybe your hurts have kept you from being born again. You know, it's real easy. All you have to do is realize God's got a good plan for your life. He wants you saved. He wants you knowing that you're on your way to heaven. If you were to die tonight, if you were to to see Jesus face to face in any given moment? Would you be ready? Well, this is it. And it's real easy. All you have to do is ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me brand new. I believe you died for me. I believe your blood was shed. I believed you were raised from the dead. Come into my life and make me brand new. I'm going to live for you all of my days. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. It's that easy. Everybody look up here at me. You know, if you prayed that prayer, if you're watching online, you prayed that prayer, call us, send us an email. We'd love to talk to you and send you some materials to bless you. Amen. Did you learn something today? Amen. Stand up on your feet. We need to get you out of here. Amen.